Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the things that we encounter a lot as business owners, people in a company, just like in general when it comes to business, are meetings. And some of these meetings are very effective. Some of them feel like they are dragging for a very long time. But there is an approach to having a meeting where it is effective, it doesn't take too much time, and you are implementing based on what you learned at that meeting. We're going to tackle that and how to have these game changer type of meetings in this episode. So today's guest is a dynamic speaker and has presented at numerous events and been interviewed on a variety of podcasts. She has been featured in Forbes, Inc., Business Collective, and PC Mag, and writes about productivity, healthy team culture, and meeting best practices. She is also a nationally syndicated columnist and national media personality. Today's guest for episode 255 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Mamie Canfer Stewart. Mamie, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, it is really a pleasure to be here.
And I'm really happy to have you on the show because meetings are just something that like a lot of businesses have them, and some people are frustrated by them because it's not really that effective for some people, but there is a approach to meetings, so we're going to tackle that in this episode. Before we start, Mamie, I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit about you actually have a company, Meteor, for Breakthrough Success listeners wondering. So can you talk about why you started that and some of the backstory?
Absolutely. So the short version is that I really love efficiency and process. And I started my first business when I was 12 years old because I thought I could run a summer camp better than the grownups. And it was really about how do people work together? How can you create a business, a process, a system that enables people to be efficient and enjoy what they're doing? And so after consulting for a couple of years, I decided to start a business focused on how people collaborate and using technology to do so. So if you do a little research into the history of Meteor, we actually were a tech company for a couple of years. And we built a technology that helped people have effective meetings by using technology to help you plan an agenda, take crystal clear notes, knowing exactly what decisions were made, what action items were coming out of the meeting. And through that process of building a technology and working with organizations, one of the big ahas that I had, and I kind of knew this ahead beforehand, but it really kind of came out in those couple of years, was that so much of meetings is about the human side, and that there's definitely a role for technology. And we can even talk more later about different apps and how to use them to help your meetings. But that so much of meetings is really about how people behave, and that the thing that I could do best, and the thing that Meteor could really do best as a business, was help people develop the skills, the habits, and those processes to help them have effective meetings every day. So we now offer a whole bunch of things on trainings, online course. And I do coaching. We do team coaching, not just individual coaching, because meetings are a team effort, not just a solo, you know, one-man show. So we do a whole bunch of things related to helping people create effective meeting practices.
And I know in addition to Meteor, you've done a few things to help people with crafting better meetings. And one of those things is you wrote your book, Momentum, Create Effective, Engaging, and Enjoyable Meetings. And I'm wondering if you could go a little bit into detail about how we can indeed have those effective, engaging, and enjoyable meetings, because sometimes get effective and engaging down, not always enjoyable. So how can we get all three?
Well, let's start with this first premise of kind of why should you even have a meeting to begin with? Because it's really hard to hit on all three of those if you're having a meeting that doesn't need to happen. So before any meeting happens, there are certain things that you should be asking yourself. And we actually have a flow chart. You can find it in our book, and we have a blog article about it where we give you kind of a step-by-step process of what are the things you should be thinking about before the meeting. So do you know exactly what the meeting needs to accomplish or kind of what the purpose of the meeting is? And we'll dive way deep into why have a meeting, that aspect of it. But starting out, just kind of generally, do you know what it is you need to get out of this meeting? And then the second question is a meeting actually the best way to get what you need? And many times the answer is no. You could send an email. You could have a shared document online where you ask people to leave comments or questions. You could do one-on-one individual conversations. This one's actually my favorite because when you think about the amount of time that we spend sitting in a room or virtually with a group of people, if you have an hour-long meeting, and assume the first 5 minutes get wasted of people coming into the room or dialing in, and the last 5 minutes is kind of a wrap up or kind of a rush to closure, you really only have about 50 minutes of really good discussion time. Now, if you've got, let's say, five people in the room to make it easy, that means 10 minutes of airtime for each person. You get 10 minutes of their brain share, but you've taken a full 60 minutes of their time. For some meetings, that's really important. You actually need the people to be listening to each other, bouncing off ideas, kind of generating buy-in. But sometimes you actually don't need them to hear each other. You just need to hear from each person. So if I am the manager, I could schedule five individual 10-minute meetings and sit down with each person and say, okay, here's what I need. Can you look this over with me? What ideas do you have? What watch-outs? What should I be thinking about? Whatever questions you have, and get their input. And now you've still spent 50 minutes, maybe a full 60 because you've had to do some scheduling and things like that. But you've spent that same hour, but each of those meeting participants has only given you 10 minutes. You've saved them 50 minutes of time in their day. That is huge. People will love you for that. Because sitting in an hour-long meeting that you don't need to be in or taking a whole hour when you really only need 10 minutes is why we have so many meetings that drag on that feel unproductive, or at least that's one of the reasons. So figure out if you really need to have a meeting or if there's an alternative way to have the meeting. And then thirdly, know exactly who you need to be there. There are different ways to think about meeting participants. There are some people who just need to be informed of the outcomes. They don't need to be in the meeting. They just need to know what decisions are made, what are the next steps, how does the outcomes of these meetings affect their work. Then there are some people who absolutely need to be in the meeting. Those are the people who are decision makers, whose information have information to share. They are the people who you need to have in the real live conversation. And then there are people who don't need to be in the meeting, but they need to be consulted beforehand. This might be somebody who's in upper management, a team sponsor. It might be someone from a different department or team. And so before you go into the meeting, before you invite them to the meeting, you can think about what information do I need from certain people? Or is there someone I should check in with this who maybe doesn't need to be in the meeting, but I want to make sure they're okay with the recommendations that we're going to be, or the decision we're going to be making. So you can kind of get their information. We call them kind of consulted. So you can kind of consult with them before the meeting. So again, you have three groups of people, only one of whom actually needs to be in the meeting. The other two just need to be engaged before the meeting to get their input or after the meeting to be informed. So that's a little bit about, you know, before you even schedule the meeting, making sure you're setting yourself up to have a productive meeting kind of from the get-go. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things you do once you've got the meeting scheduled. So going back to that meeting purpose, the number one thing I tell people to do, if you're going to do nothing else, if you listen to this entire podcast and you do nothing else after listening, do this one thing. Write a desired outcome. And for us, this is a very particular kind of statement. So if you ask, why are we having this meeting? It's really easy to answer it with a verb. Oh, we're having this meeting to discuss, you know, where the project's headed. Or we're having this meeting to kind of check in on progress. Or we're having this meeting to review, you know, the last month's numbers. Those are all good things. But at the end of the meeting, what did you accomplish? If you discussed something, or you checked in, or you reviewed, or the many other verbs that we use for meetings, it's really hard to know what you actually accomplished. And it's kind of even harder to know what the exact outcomes are. You know, kind of what's like the so what of that conversation. It's hard to know if the meeting was successful or worthwhile. So instead of answering the question, why are we having this meeting? Ask the question, what will this meeting achieve? Or at the end of this meeting, we will have some statement, some noun, some result. And we call that statement the desired outcome because it's the outcome you are desiring to achieve in the meeting. Pretty obvious. So you can write something like, the outcome of this meeting, our desired outcome, is a list of 25 ideas for further exploration on this brainstorm topic. The outcome of this meeting is a decision on X topic. The outcome of this meeting is a plan for how we're going to tackle X, Y, or Z, how we're going to modify our social media plan for the next quarter. Whatever it is, there's almost always a way to rewrite why you're having this meeting as an outcome. And when you do that, now you are crystal clear about why the meeting is happening and what you're going to achieve, which helps you figure out those three groups of people, who should be there, who should be consulted, who should be informed. And if you do this, please, please, please share it with the people who are coming, because it's not just your job to prepare for the meeting as the meeting leader. It's also their job to think about, is this meeting the right meeting for me to be in? And that gets to another reason why we have so many terrible meetings, which is that people never decline meetings. So it seems like the only reason you can decline a meeting is if you are sick, you are on vacation and out of the office, you're double booked. Almost no one declines a meeting because they don't think it's a good use of their time or they don't know why they've been invited. They just show up. It's like you get a meeting invite and you just click accept. And that's not how it should be. If you don't know why the meeting's happening, you should ask. And you should, you know, help yourself decide, is this a good use of my time? And we can talk more about getting out of meetings, but I want to go off on all these tangents. So, you know, so again, share why you're having this meeting, share that desired outcome so that other people know and they can prepare to come in and be ready. So I've said a whole lot of things and I have so much more to say, but I'm going to pause here for a second. I don't know if you have any questions, Mark, or if we should just keep going.
I mean, I really like what you said. I mean, like having that desired outcome, like it's not like you're just going into a meeting blindly and making it up as you go. Like you have an outcome with it. And I liked how you mentioned not everyone needs to be at every meeting. Like you could have some one-on-ones and some people, like instead of sitting for the hour meeting, now it's just 10 minutes for everyone due to that one-on-one nature. And of course, it's different for different scenarios, but I can see that being something that is completely underutilized. And one of the things with meetings also is that there's a lot of information dispersed throughout the meetings. And so it, there are so many different topics a meeting could be about, but one of the things about meetings, it's like a check-in or it's something where like, these are the actions that we need to be taking. So how can we get better at taking action based on what we learn from the meetings, because obviously like we have our one way of action, what we're doing right now, and then all of a sudden maybe the meeting, like we have another set of actions we have to do.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest challenges that I get requests for, kind of help us figure out how to make our meetings kind of, you know, impactful in the work that we're doing. So you might have a fantastic conversation, a great discussion, make some decisions and come up with some next steps. And then everybody goes back to their desk and the big things get implemented, but all of the kind of trickle down stuff kind of just sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. Sometimes people get told what's going on, sometimes they don't. And a lot of stuff has to be redone or falls through the cracks. And ultimately, the work isn't as impactful as it could be. And sometimes even that meeting, you know, isn't even worthwhile. You know, like that old saying, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does it still make a sound? You know, if you have a great conversation and you come up with five next steps and none of them get, was that meeting still a good use of everyone's time? Was it still a productive conversation? Maybe, I'm not sure. It kind of depends. And I mean, the whole point of meetings is to move work forward. So if you're coming up with next steps in your meetings, you sure want them to be implemented to help move the work forward. So a couple of things that people can do. One is be really clear about what is actually a next step and what is just an idea for a next step. So a quick story on this one. Someone that I know called me, a kind of separate colleague. We were in a meeting together. It was kind of in a volunteer situation. And she called me, or I was volunteering on their team. She called me and she said, I need you to look at this urgently. I need to get it back to my boss by the end of this day. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, it came out of that meeting. Remember, they said that they wanted to see this updated document. I was like, I didn't hear any of them say that. I heard them say that they wish we had it for the meeting. I didn't hear them say they now need it right now. She's like, oh, I don't know. Like, it was this crazy moment where she interpreted her boss's suggestion of, I wish we had this document, into, I need to get my boss's document right now, which was not the case. And I know her boss, and that was definitely not the case, but that was her interpretation of it. So it wasn't clear that that was an actual next step. And people do this all the time in meetings where they float things like, oh, you know, we really should get the numbers on that one from Bob over in finance. Or it would be really helpful if we had, you know, if we had a better visual for this presentation. Is that a next step? I don't know. Some people are going to interpret it as, oh my gosh, we have to do that. Some people are going to interpret it as that, nope, that was just an idea. Nobody needs to do that. And in both cases, there are going to be mistakes and wasted effort or lost opportunities. So at the end of the meeting, it's really important to get clear about the actual next steps and who's going to do them, because there is no grand we really need to do this, or good, so somebody's going to take this to the next step. No, nobody's going to actually do that. Assign it to a person. So use those last 5 minutes of your meeting to do a wrap up. Identify exactly what the next steps are and who is going to do them. And if you're going to assign a next step to somebody who's not in the room, assign it to somebody in the room to delegate to somebody not in the room. This is another place where next steps get lost. Because if I'm not in the meeting and my team assigns me a next step and nobody tells me about it, or it's in the meeting notes and I'm supposed to read it, but you know, they just ran away from me. I got lost in my email, and who really wants to read meeting notes? Let's be honest. And so no one tells me about this next step, or maybe they put it into our task manager and it, you know, pops up with a notification. That's helpful. But someone in the meeting should be responsible to say, hey, Mamie, we need it by this date and you're on point for that. Great. Now I know, and I'm clear, and I know who to ask questions to if I'm not sure about what I was assigned. So when you're really clear and you make sure all the next steps have people associated with them, have their owners, you're much more likely to get that follow through. And then the last piece of it, which is also kind of related to the informing, is that if people aren't in the meeting and the decisions are made that impact their work, same thing. Somebody has to communicate those decisions. We can't just leave it up to, well, I sent them an email with the meeting notes and they had to click the link to get to the meeting notes. Like, that doesn't happen. People don't read meeting notes. People aren't going to rely. You can't rely on email alone to disperse those kinds of important decisions. Somebody needs to make sure that everybody who needs to know knows what the decision is, why the decision was made, so that they can figure out how it impacts their work. And then they can update their plans. They can update and make adjustments to their timeline, to their scope, to their tasks, whatever it is. But if no one's communicating and ensuring that decisions are getting dispersed out, it's really hard for people to know that they're supposed to change what they're doing. So those are a couple of things that teams can do to help kind of take the information out of your meetings and make it impactful into the organization.
And I really liked, there's like so much you shared that we can use. And one of the things that, like, just like the wording we use, like, I really wish I could have this document. I feel like we have to be a little more direct with what we want. Like, if you need the document before the meeting, state that. If you need it after the meeting, state that. Like, when you make a request to someone, like, make sure it's one of those clear ones that can't be confused for one way or the other, because then you get, as Mamie mentioned, the mistakes or the wasted effort. And as entrepreneurs, we're constantly trying to boost our exposure. Meetings can, effective ones can really help us with that, because a lot of new ideas come across. But one of the things that I mentioned about you at the beginning of our show is that you are a nationally syndicated columnist who's also been featured in many top media outlets. And I'm wondering if you could share with us how that happened.
Sure. I guess the honest answer is I'm not 100% sure how that happened. So, you know, I I love what I do. I spent years as a consultant working with teams and organizations, and I really love working with people, and I love producing content. I love leading workshops and teaching. And so that's how I spend most of my time. And I wrote Momentum, my book with my colleague Ty, in part because we had so much information we wanted to share, and we couldn't find a great book, a great resource that was kind of really rich in terms of its content and the practices and the approaches, and really action oriented that would help teams and managers create those effective meetings. And we wanted to kind of birth this book and give it to the world, and also use it as a platform to help support all of our work that we were doing and work with our clients. So I think part of kind of how I got to where I got to was right. Content. I definitely recommend writing a book. It does take an extraordinary amount of time, but there are lots of people and companies who can help you do it. So I worked with somebody because there was no way I could run a business and write a book at the same time. There's definitely resources to help you do it. But part of it, I think, was writing this book, and then the opportunities that became available, the podcasts that were interested in having me on because I wrote a book about this stuff, the places that were inviting me to speak, even the radio show, The Price of Business, where I have a syndicated episode every month, they reached out to me because they found out about my book. So I definitely think that a book is a big piece of it. A lot of the other things, the articles and stuff like that, it happens a lot more organically, and kind of who you know and who suggests you to what different writers and journalists and people will find you if you are putting out really good content and you're making a splash. That's kind of like the best I can say. And it took years. I'll also say that it took years to get this kind of attention. It was most definitely not an overnight success.
And it's interesting how you mentioned relationships being a key theme. And that's something that I hear a lot from people, how important it is to build relationships with other people, because you can mutually benefit one another. You can help each other grow your audiences and collaboration. So I've definitely heard a lot on the relationship side for being able to expand your audience and help others do the same. And I'd like to shift back to meetings now. Because you have Meteor, you have the book on having effective, engaging, and enjoyable meetings. So, so far I've talked about some of the different ways that we can optimize our meetings. But let's look at the other side of the coin. People who are having meetings that they seem to drag on, that they don't really seem to be getting too much done. And with that side of the coin in mind, what do you believe holds most people back from having effective meetings?
So I think there are a number of different things, but for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to focus on two. The first one is lack of preparation. So not going through that process that I spoke about earlier, really defining why you're having the meeting, what you want to achieve, and who should really be there. And so we set ourselves up to fail because if you kind of think about it like a compass, if you start out on your journey and you have a general sense of where you're headed, but you're, maybe 3 or 4 degrees off on your compass. If you walk for an hour and a half, you are way off track. So the more precise you are in the beginning, the more likely you're going to get to the end. And that journey is going to be way more enjoyable if you know where you're going and you're making progress. So one of the major reasons that meetings feel like they drag on, they're not productive, is because people don't prepare properly. The second reason is because nobody in the meeting is taking ownership and feeling comfortable enough to say, hey guys, what are we doing here? Or, wow, we just went off on a major tangent. We need to get back on track. There's so much psychologically, emotionally, socially going on inside of the meeting when you're talking about group dynamics. And it's not always easy when your boss is kind of going off on a tangent. And let me tell you, I hear more about entrepreneurs as kind of people who take meetings off track than I think any other group of people in business. Because entrepreneurs are visionaries. We have lots of ideas. I am guilty of this too. We start talking about something and my brain is firing and I'm going off one place and another, and maybe we should try this. And oh, I was listening to a podcast about that. And how can we incorporate that into what we're doing? So it's really easy for meetings to wander off onto a different topic or to go down a rabbit hole. and get stuck in the details, or to kind of hash something beyond the point where it needs to be discussed, but you just kind of keep going and going because it's interesting and people just keep piling on. And when that happens, somebody needs to recognize it and say, okay, this conversation's not being productive anymore. This is not a worthwhile use of our time, whether it's because we went off track and we're not moving forward our agenda, or because we went off track and it's actually a really good topic, but it's not the right topic for this group of people, because the people that you've gathered for this meeting have a different agenda to attend to. And that topic, yes, should be discussed, but in a different meeting with the people who are right for that conversation. And because group dynamics are challenging, and because relationships and all that psychological safety and kind of, do we feel comfortable going out on a limb in front of our colleagues or our manager or our boss, those things get in the way of people stepping up to say, this, I'm noticing that this conversation has gone off track, or I'm noticing that we're kind of spinning our wheels here. I'm wondering what we still need to be able to move this conversation forward. Do we need more information? Are we ready to make a decision? Those kinds of questions, which asking it as a question is definitely one way to make it feel a little less intrusive or a little less aggressive, rather than saying, we went off track, saying, hey guys, I'm wondering if anyone else feels like we're going off track. Like, I'm not 100% sure how this fits on our agenda. Does anyone else feel that way? Kind of offering it to the group rather than kind of demanding or, you know, being so confrontational that, you know, you're saying we went off track and you guys did a bad job. So again, some reasons that meetings feel so terrible sometimes is because nobody wants to speak up and call it and just say, guys, this isn't a good use of our time. Or I'm not 100% sure why I'm in this meeting. You know, is it still important that I'm here? And if yes, can we get back onto the topics that are relevant for me? Otherwise, I'm happy to step out. I actually saw someone do this once and I was so proud of her. We were having a meeting and she recognized that the rest of the agenda didn't really relate to her. And she asked the group if she could leave. She just said, hey guys, I know we have 35 minutes left in this meeting. I don't think there's anything left on the agenda that's relevant for me. If I'm wrong, please tell me and I'll stay. Otherwise, I really have a lot of work and I appreciate to get back at my desk. And the group said, yeah, that's fine, go ahead. And she walked out and she saved 35 minutes of her time and didn't have to sit through that boring, dreaded kind of like, oh my gosh, when is this meeting going to be over? I have so many things to do. And I'm just sitting here for 35 minutes, basically not saying anything because it's not relevant for me. So again, I just said a whole lot of fun things, but everyone in the meeting needs to take ownership and find ways to help keep the conversation on track. If you don't know what the conversation's about, ask, what are we here for today? What do we want to accomplish? Those kinds of questions will help you stay on track.
And I mean, I really like that level of focus, and especially for entrepreneurs, like you mentioned that visionary element. We have so many ideas popping in our minds and so many different things to do. We can sometimes feel that sense of overwhelm, and it really shows in the meetings too. So it's really good to have that level of focus throughout the meetings that we're doing. And some of the meetings, like, they're there to address some of the challenges that may exist, some of the obstacles and things of a similar nature. And with challenges in mind, Mamie, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Sure. So I think the biggest challenge I faced was when we were trying to get paid subscriptions to our software. And we tried a million different things, or at least it felt like we tried a million different things. And it's really hard to be in the software business these days. I mean, there's, you know, in some ways there's a million apps and, you know, it's great. And some of them are free and cheap and it's wonderful. But if as a software developer, it can be really hard to build a sustainable software business. So for us, kind of coming to the conclusion that software was not going to be the future of Meteor was a really big decision and a really painful process. And, you know, a year and a half of lots of strategizing and trying different approaches and different marketing and different pricing and all kinds of things to figure out how we were going to make Meteor, you know, survive. And once I came to the conclusion, along with my advisors and my team, that we weren't, and that we were going to have to kind of close our software down. We weren't going to sell. We were just going to shut down. That was really hard. But coming out of it on the other side was really positive. Like, Meteor is a much healthier business now. We are doing really meaningful work. We're working with a lot of wonderful teams and clients. It's really sad because I miss my entire engineering and product team. They're all wonderful people, and it was really hard to say goodbye to them. I went from about 14 people on my team now to like me and kind of two part-time people. So a really big difference. And but in that journey, we had launched some services. We had launched a coaching, kind of team coaching program. We had started doing paid workshops and webinars and other things. And at one point I said to one of my advisors, I just need to sell more trainings to make up for our losses on the software. And he said to me, you can't run one business to make up for a failing business. Like, you can't make money on one side to cover your losses on the other. That's not smart business. And that was a big aha moment, because up until that point, I'd always seen the software as our main business and these other things as kind of complementary side things that we were doing in part to help promote our software. Come to our workshop and then you can buy our software. You know, we'll work with your team and we'll coach them on these practices. And oh, by the way, our software will help you implement them. And what he kind of helped me realize in that moment was, no, our actual business was the coaching and the trainings. That's what people were paying us for and finding a lot of value in. And our software, as incredible as it was, people just didn't want to pay for. And we were never going to survive if my mindset was make money on one side to pay for the losses over here. So it was a huge lesson, big learnings, lots of tears, lots of painful, sad goodbyes. But at the end of the day, the best decision, the hardest and the best decision that I've ever made in the business.
And with the challenges, I enjoy asking this question because you get so many different stories out of it. Like some of the, it's not one of those things that it's like, your challenge was you had the software and you realized it's not the best option. It was hard for you to make that decision to cut down on your team. And I mean, when we have that kind of moment where you have something that you know isn't working, you have people working on it, you just have to be able to take that action. It is a really hard decision to make, but it's definitely something better for the long term for your business, which is one of the reasons why you did eventually make that decision. So a very powerful challenge and lesson that is in that story. And what are the storytelling, like you see that a lot in any journey, and you also see it in books. And I believe that if we read a lot of books, we are going to be the leaders within our niches. And with that in mind, Mamie, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Oh, I love books. So the number one book I tell every manager to read is Radical Candor. Kim Scott and her co-author they're just phenomenal. They give so much important information about giving feedback and really just so much more. So Radical Candor is a fantastic book that I make all of my coachees, everyone I work with, I try and get them to read it because it's fantastic. Second book, I think the book that most influenced how I manage myself was Getting Things Done by David Allen. And he has a new version that just came out for teens. And I was listening to a podcast episode and he was being interviewed on it. And it sounds like an amazing option for people who don't want to sit down and read this entire dense book on a productivity method. It sounds like his new version that is Getting Things Done for teens is a much lighter way to get the principles. So if you are super into productivity and you love that kind of deep, methodical, rational ways of working, then read Getting Things Done. If you like, I want the principles, but I don't want that kind of heavy lift, check out his newer book that's for teens. And then third book, this is where it's hard. I think I would say maybe Lean Startup. Just because I feel like I use the principles from Lean Startup all the time. And kind of how do you meet your customers' expectations, figure out what the problems are, iterate quickly, kind of fake it till you make it. We definitely, at least in our software, and even sometimes now, we do things that were kind of should have been automated, but we were just hacking it in the background and doing it manually or whatever we needed to do to make it work so that we could push something out to the customer and see what they thought. So I think the Lean Startup is another great book for entrepreneurs.
Mamie, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. All those links will be in the show notes, markaverde.com/E255. Also, they're on Content Marketing Secrets. You can get that for free. Just pay for shipping, markaverde.com/book. And my book, Podcast Domination, which comes out very soon, that will also be in the show notes as well. But before we wrap up this episode, Mamie, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, only one question? Who did I say thank you to today? I also have a podcast. It's called The Modern Manager. And the episode that I just recorded was all about appreciation. And, you know, it's so funny because I teach a lot of these things around meetings, but in my podcast, I touch on a lot more around management. And going through the planning and the recording for this episode on appreciation, it really helped me reflect on, am I giving enough appreciation to my colleagues, to my people in my community who are supporting me to do the work that I'm doing, even to my clients when they show up for a meeting and they are prepared, which for them could be a huge success. So many people show up to meetings unprepared. So, you know, finding more opportunities to say thank you and really give kind of meaningful and authentic appreciation. So if you could do one thing, you know, figure out if you're saying thank you enough. Ask yourself, who did I say thank you today?
Mamie, thank you for sharing with us that insightful question, for sharing all the great insights throughout this episode. For anyone who wants to learn more about Mamie, there are a few ways. As you mentioned, The Modern Manager, that is her podcast. That is over at mamieks.com/podcast. She also has an online course on leading productive meetings, which will be in the show notes, and her book, Momentum: Creating Effective, Engaging, and Enjoyable Meetings, which will accompany all those resources in these show notes as well. There's just a few ways you can keep up with Mamie beyond this episode of Breakthrough Success. But Mamie, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really enjoyed our conversation.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn